Welcome to That's Orgasmic, a podcast discussing the orgasmic and not so orgasmic moments of all things sex, relationships, and mental health. I am your host, Emily Duncan, and I'm a sexologist who provides online sex coaching sessions to help you cultivate sexual wellness. This podcast is being recorded on Wurundjeri land. We pay our respect to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past and present. We extend that respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today. Please enjoy this episode. Welcome back to That's Orgasmic. Today's episode is all about vaginal health and vaginal infections. So if you're somebody who's experienced UTIs, thrush, bacterial vaginosis, then this episode is for you. We talk all about what causes it, what impacts its vaginal health, and what you can do from a holistic approach to try and prevent these infections, especially if you're somebody who has recurring infections. I also just wanted to talk about my Sunroom. The Sunroom is an app/website where you get to see more uncensored content of me. I give sex toy reviews, different tips on masturbation, lasting longer in bed, embarrassing stories. Like, there's so much different stuff on there. But more importantly, you can ask me any of your sex and relationship questions and I can answer them or message back with you, give you a video, whatever you desire. So my Sunroom is That's Orgasmic and you can find that in the show notes as well. But anyway, that's all from me for this introduction. So I hope you enjoy today's interview. Today I'm joined with Adrian Rommel, also known as a yoni nutritionist, who helps people get to the root cause of their chronic vaginal infections with holistic nutrition and wellness practices so that they can feel confident in their sex lives again. So welcome to That's Orgasmic.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to chat about vaginal health today. It's something that comes up a fair bit, I think, on the podcast, because when you're talking about sex, you kind of also have to talk about this too. But I would love to start with, if you feel comfortable, like sharing, I guess, your own journey with your vaginal health. I know you talk about it on your Instagram, and I think I'd also like to share mine after, so people just, I guess, have that, I guess, something to connect to. Something that they know they're not alone, and that the things, I guess, that we're going to talk about today are things that a lot of people experience, and to not feel shame around that.
It's so true. I mean, the topic of vaginal health is still so taboo to talk about, which is so unfortunate because half of the world lives with a vagina. And we all get infections at one point in our lives, and they're really, really common, but for some reason, these things are still so taboo to talk about. So I've struggled with my own vaginal health for most of my sexually active life. Since I was 15 years old, I was getting chronic yeast infections, UTIs. I got a genital herpes and HPV diagnosis when I was in my early 20s. And I, you know, throw in a couple of BV infections in there too. I have had issue after issue. And it's been really frustrating because, you know, of course, this stuff affects our sex life, our confidence, our relationships. And it's really hard when you get an infection because we go to the doctor, we get the treatment, whether it be antibiotics, antifungal, whatever medication you have to take to treat the infection, which of course we need. But when you keep getting these infections that keep coming back, and the only solution is medication, it just doesn't, like, I was getting these recurring infections myself. And there was one point where my doctor couldn't help me. And I rolled up my sleeves and I started doing my own research. And I discovered that I had a fungal overgrowth. It's called candida overgrowth in my body. I was really sick at this time. I was getting recurring yeast infections with all kinds of other recurring symptoms. And when I found that out, and all I needed to do was change my diet and my lifestyle, I was like, I have been suffering for years. why didn't my doctor tell me about this? Why hasn't anyone told me about this? Why isn't anyone talking about this? Because it, when I changed my diet and my lifestyle and I got rid of my infections and my symptoms, I was like, what? This is, yeah, it just set off a light bulb in my head. I quit my corporate life. I was a corporate girl in a suit for a really long time. And I said, fuck this. I'm going to go back to school to study nutrition, to teach people how to do this and to educate people and help people who are like me, who were struggling with their vaginal health and they're not getting help from their doctor, but they need answers. They need support, but they can't do all the research on their own and don't have the capacity to figure it all out on their own, because it is a full-time job. I've made it my full-time job now to help people who are struggling. And ever since I started the Yoni Nutritionist 5 years ago, I've realized, and I wish I knew this when I was struggling, that I'm not alone. There are so many women who are struggling with these things, and it's so, so, so common. It's just not a lot of people are talking about it.
No.
So I'm here to talk about it.
Yeah, which I
and help people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really connect with that, I guess, typical, like, you know, Western medicine, just wanting to put a band-aid or on it and just like, here's a medication, hopefully it goes away, and not looking at that root cause. And it's so frustrating, because then you have to go and be the investigator yourself and try and work out, you know, what the fuck's going on, because this isn't, I guess, you know, normal. And for like me myself, I have had, I don't even know how many yeast infections, like I don't think I could count anymore. And I currently have just gone through a period of like getting them every single month. And it was just like, what the fuck's going on? Doctor was kind of like, oh, let's just give you double the dose of the medication. Like, instead of trying to, you know, work out what's causing it. So that, you know, has been, you know, a whole journey in itself. And then I would have started getting thrush infections. I think the first time would have been in high school. And then it's come and gone in phases throughout my life. But then I also have really bad bowel health. So I know that it's absolutely linked. And as you said, like looking at like nutrition, and nobody in my life really talks about thrush or BV or UTIs or really any of that stuff. And I'm guessing, one, because there's a lot of shame around it, I find, and people do talk about it, but I wish people were talking about it more, because I don't think you should need to like suffer in silence.
Definitely not. It's so nice to know, and it's so like comforting to know that you're not alone, because this stuff doesn't just affect us physically, but it gets to the point where, as you've probably experienced too, like it starts affecting the quality of your life. And then that gets emotional, you know, and it can affect your mental health. And it's all of a sudden, it's all you can think of is your vagina and these infections. And I don't know about you, but when I get a yeast infection or a herpes outbreak or BV, if my vagina is out of commission, my whole mood changes, my whole vibe changes. And it's so hard. And I'm not against medication at all, because I believe we need the medication to treat our symptoms. But I also believe in a holistic approach in combination with that to get to the root cause. Because if you don't get to the root cause, your symptoms will keep coming back.
Mm. Yeah. And
it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. And it is like more than just physical symptoms. Like, as you said, that like I get in such a shit mood and I can't have sex with my partner then. And when that's happening, you know, every week of a month, then that's, you know, taking out, you know, a week of being, I guess, sexual in the way that I want to be. And then also just, you know, feeling the irritation to, like when around my vulva and stuff, and like you're being out and about and you're like, can you just like fuck off, like just leave me alone. And it's just, it takes a big, like it does take a big toll, especially when it's not just a one-off and it's something that like keeps coming up. And especially when, let's say, maybe you have a partner who doesn't understand, like mine does, but even just those first initial conversations of if they're not having a vulva, of being like, why is this happening? Like, what? And then I guess not knowing exactly how to support you in that.
Exactly. It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's really tough. And then you kind of feel guilty. There's all kinds of stuff, that feelings that come up around that too, you know, when you can't have sex even though you want to. It, especially if you're a sexual person like me, it kind of takes away a part of your sexual freedom, because you feel, and then you kind of are overthinking about it all the time. Like, am I going to get an infection? Is sex going to trigger an infection? Because for a lot of people it does, especially with yeast and BV. And it takes the enjoyment out of sex, which is so hard. And a lot of guys, you know, people with penises, they don't have to deal with this. Yeah. You know, for women, we take it so, it's so different. It's such a different experience for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Even just the mental load there, like just having to even have that in the back of your mind. Like, I still have it in the back of my mind of like, oh, I didn't use a condom that time. Will that affect it? You know, will it, just constantly like in your head of like, what is actually going to affect this?
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing totally. The exact answer to that's hard.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I just got a new partner and we had a really romantic weekend and we had sex a lot. Like, I pushed my limits, my poor vagina, but, and then I got a yeast infection. And of course, like,
yeah, you know? I've been there. Yeah. I have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess for those listening, and they're hearing, I guess, this term vaginal health coming up, what exactly is our vaginal health?
Well, it's the health of basically our life force, because I feel like a lot of feminine energy, our feminine power, I would say, is in our vaginas. And it just holds so much power. Like, it gives life, you know, again, like if my vagina doesn't feel good, I don't feel good. It affects my mood. You know, when we have our menstrual cycle, there are so many things that go along with the word and the term vaginal health. And it's really important to learn how to take care of it, because we really weren't taught. We weren't taught in school. Like, I don't know how it is in Australia, but in Canada, we learn how to square dance in school. Like, why? Why aren't we learning about this stuff that we can actually, you know, do things with? And there are all of these things, like your menstrual cycle, your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, are all connected to your vaginal health. And people still don't understand this. And especially when you're getting recurring infections like yeast and BV particularly, and they keep coming back, I say 4 or more times a year, it's so important to understand the physiological background about this stuff. And it's a lot. There's a science behind it. But it's really important to know that all of these things are connected. And if you really want to do the work to get to the root cause, the gut is the first thing that needs to be addressed. And this is why I do my work, is to help people understand what you need to eat, what you shouldn't be eating, in order to start to learn how to manage these infections and prevent them from coming back in the future. I mean, it's not just here, eat this and don't eat that. There's so much more to it. It's like the how to eat and why this is happening and how all of the other hormones, nervous system, gut health, immune system, how those are all connected, and your blood sugar. There's a science behind it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we say vaginal health, it's not so simple.
No, it's not.
It's complicated.
So things like our gut health, menstrual cycles and menstrual health, I'm guessing. And even just like general, like physical, emotional health, or all things that affect our vaginal health.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Like, our, you know, stress is the number one trigger of vaginal infections. Like, these things just don't happen out of nowhere, you know? So it's really important to understand too that they're, you know, this is getting kind of woo-woo, but in my experience of dealing with all of these issues for 20 plus years, there's a huge metaphysical side of this stuff, and that's energy and emotions, because that affects our physiological health too, and our stress and our nervous system and then our hormones and all of these things. If we have any kind of trauma, you know, from childhood most of the time, or sexual trauma particularly, a lot of women, you know, have a lot of sexual trauma, and we store that in our yonis, in our vaginas. Mentally, emotionally, energetically, physically.
Mm, yeah.
So it's like, it's so intricate.
Yeah, it is. And I love the woo-woo when you're like, when you mentioned that, I was like, yeah. Yes, I love this stuff. And something that I did want to talk about, which probably like segues nicely from that, I keep seeing on social media, and I'm hearing people talk about this as well, where they'll be in, let's say, a relationship, and for the first time they're getting recurring BV or UTIs or yeast infections. And then it's not till they leave the relationship that then that stops. And then they realize, oh, maybe this person, like, that's my body kind of almost like rejecting them or saying this isn't right. What do you think like about that?
Oh, it's true. I've experienced it for myself. It's like everybody says the gut, you know, listen to your intuition. The gut is your intuition. I always say our vaginas are our intuition, and she'll tell you when she doesn't like someone. And sometimes it's subconscious and you don't even realize it. You might like the person, your brain is saying yes, but your vagina, your yoni is saying nope. And it's almost like she's protecting you. You know, sometimes I see it, you know, if you're getting these recurring infections, especially with the same partner, it's almost like your body and your vagina is protecting you in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where the metaphysical aspect of it comes in, the woo-woo stuff, because I knew one of my last partners, I got back-to-back herpes outbreaks and a pretty brutal BV infection during that three-month relationship. And I was like, okay, I better listen to this because these are pretty big messages. And as soon as we broke up, it never happened again.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's very interesting. And like, especially if you're getting, you start being sexual with somebody and they're starting straight away and then just not going and it just being a cycle.
It's a big sign. And a lot of us, you know, will ignore it, deny it, you know, but a lot of us don't want to believe that it's true because we really like the person. But I hear it every day talking to women who struggle with their vaginal health.
Yeah. So it's so interesting.
It's so interesting.
I love hearing how connected our bodies are to, like, I guess, just ourselves and what's going on in the world. Like they're so intuitive. And I feel like as we've obviously evolved, we've just really cut that tie, like trying to separate the two and not being connected to it. And whenever I hear things like this, I'm like, it's just so interesting how connected our bodies are to what's going on, but we've just lost the ability to listen.
So interesting. Yeah.
So coming back, I guess, to the vaginal health, you mentioned there that menstrual cycles can affect it, and that at certain times, I'm guessing we're probably going to be more prone to infections, potentially, obviously, depending on the person. What, like, is there certain times, like, specifically, that someone in their menstrual cycle may be more prone to, let's say, like, BV or thrush, or is that really different to each person?
It depends. I mean, it's very common for women to get infections right before their period. When I was going through the worst of my candida overgrowth, I was getting yeast infections every month before my period, right before. But a lot of people get recurring BV infections after their periods. It really just depends on the person. But that's why it's really important to start understanding how your menstrual cycle works, the four different phases of the menstrual cycle and how to nourish your body properly during those phases, because it's different. You might see some information, you know, saying that you have to eat this and do these exercises and kind of follow this sort of lifestyle, I guess you could say, during your follicular phase. And then in the luteal phase, you're slowing down and you got to treat your body differently in these different phases. Menstrual phase, you're resting, you're just like nesting, resting and nesting, that rhymes. You know, it's really important if you are getting infections in and around your cycle, it's important to start paying attention to and keeping track of when you're getting these infections. And then you can start determining which phase of your cycle is affecting and triggering these infections. And then you can start learning how to adjust your lifestyle around your menstrual cycle.
Yeah. Are you able to briefly explain like what those different phases are? Because I know in Australia, we weren't taught this. I don't know if it's in Canada, if you were. So I do know that, especially for vulva owners who have been on like hormonal contraception their whole lives and things, they've just never thought about this. And it wasn't until I literally came off the pill 12 months ago that I was like, oh, why do I feel different? What are these, you know, phases and what's going on? Are you able to just briefly explain, like, I guess what each phase of the cycle is in case there's people listening who don't actually know?
Yes. Well, the first phase is your menstrual phase, of course, when you're bleeding. The second phase is your follicular phase. And this is in between your menstrual cycle and ovulation. The third phase is ovulation. And the last phase is the luteal phase. Mm-hmm. And the menstrual phase lasts, you know, it gets different for everybody, about 3 to 7 days. Your follicular phase also about that time. The ovulation phase is only a couple of days. And that's, of course, when you're highest, you have the highest chances of getting pregnant. And then the luteal phase can last, I guess, up to on average 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the luteal phase is, of course, when you have your PMS symptoms and it's premenstrual. So it's about a week and a half before you get your period. And that's very common for women to get yeast infections and herpes outbreaks and BV infections during that time too.
Yeah.
And then in the menstrual phase, of course, your menstrual blood can change the pH of your vagina. Our pH is normally more acidic and the menstrual blood is more neutral. And if you have any kind of pH imbalance when you're getting recurring BV, that's why your period can trigger BV infections.
Mm.
But in the luteal phase too, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of hormone changes happening, which can cause stress in your body, can create inflammation, which is also another reason why people get yeast infections right before their period, herpes outbreaks mm-hmm. before their periods.
Mm-hmm.
So our bodies are changing constantly in these cycles.
Absolutely.
And it's really important to understand how to nourish your body properly during these cycles because we weren't taught.
No, absolutely. I even remember coming off the pill and just feeling how my mood changes throughout a cycle. Like I felt like I was, you know, like on crack when I was ovulating. I was like, what is going on at the start? I was like, I've never experienced this feeling before. I felt so just energetic to the point that it was just chaos and like just scrambled. I was like, I've never experienced this before. And all of a sudden, you know, in my luteal phase, I was getting really emotional right before the period, or even just like really hungry the day before my period. I can not feel full. It's like impossible. And I was like, what is, like, I've never had this. I talked to my doctor and their first response was, oh, we can put you on antidepressants, like cycle them if you need. And I was like, no, like I'm just explaining to you that I'm having this sensation of actually feeling what's going on, which I thought was really interesting that was their like first response, because if I wasn't educated in this space, I would have maybe potentially been like, oh, okay, like maybe this isn't normal that I'm experiencing all these different things throughout my cycle and I didn't have this before, but I was on the pill for 8 years. So why would have I experienced this?
It's really sad that doctors are doing this. And I hate to knock doctors in healthcare because we need it, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's almost negligent, like to prescribe birth control or antidepressants for somebody without those are the only options that they have. They don't really know what else to do, you know, because they're not trained, but it's just like, what? Mm-hmm. No, there's so many more things that you can do with your diet, with your lifestyle, with specific supplements, like naturally that you can do. You don't have to rely on birth control or antidepressants. Mm-hmm. Imagine misprescribing somebody antidepressants when they're not depressed. Like it blows my mind.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Yeah, it is. It can be very frustrating. But yeah, I guess today I really want to focus on BV and thrush, but if any other infections, I guess, come up or interrelate, like, absolutely the space to talk about it too. So I just wanted to, like, I guess, clarify for anyone that's listening and doesn't necessarily understand what BV or thrush is. So is BV more like that pH imbalance, and then thrush, the overgrowth of yeast?
BV is bacterial vaginosis. So it's a bacterial infection inside of the vagina, and it's affected by an imbalance of your vaginal pH levels, which can increase the microbiome, the vaginal and an imbalance in the vaginal microbiome, because an imbalance in the pH levels can increase the bad bacteria population inside of the vagina. And BV is typically, some of the common symptoms are itching, burning, redness, a gray or white lotiony discharge, a thick lotiony discharge, or either super wet, a lot of liquid discharge. And it's usually characterized by a very distinct odor, like a fishy odor, or a coppery odor, or a pungent odor. It's usually pretty strong. That's how you know it's BV. A thrush is also known as a yeast infection, which is a fungal overgrowth inside of the vagina. And that's treated differently. It's treated with antifungals instead of antibiotics for bacterial vaginosis. But some of the symptoms include itching, burning, redness, kind of similar to BV. But the main difference is the discharge. It's like a white cottage cheesy discharge.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it smells like sourdough bread. Yeah. Like yeast.
I know in my experience, when I would just get like a one-off yeast infection, it'd be that very like thick, like cottage cheese, I guess, discharge. And then once I started getting the recurring ones, I don't know if I was just getting onto it quicker. Like, I know the day of when that's coming. Like, I just know. But it'd be a lot of a like really thin crumbly discharge. Like, it was just a little bit different. Almost looked like, this is gonna be, might grow some people out, but it almost looked like the toilet paper all crumbled up really, really small and like stuck all over like my vulva. And so I was like, oh, I'm like, is that? Do I need to like change my toilet paper or something? Then I realized, no, this is a yeast infection. But it was interesting how it was different to like what it used to be. And I think one thing is also just getting onto it earlier, maybe also just hormonal changes too, like actually being off hormonal contraception now. I don't know, but I thought that was interesting too.
Totally. And hormonal contraception can increase your chances of getting recurring yeast infections, especially because they're more common in estrogen dominant women, yeast infections. Mm-hmm. And birth control really messes up the gut health. Like, it's so crazy what it can do to us, especially for me. I was on birth control for 15 years before I got off of it. And like, of course I got candida and antibiotics, long-term antibiotics as a kid with strep throat all the time. Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. So like with, I guess, birth control and then gut health, does it just like promote certain bacteria growing than others? Like, what, I guess, goes on with that, like the interaction, I guess, between the two?
It's the hormonal changes, and it can affect the vaginal microbiome and vaginal pH levels. So yeah, it can really disrupt the good bacteria versus bad bacteria. It can cause an environment that isn't so friendly for the good bacteria. So it causes the bad bacteria to overgrow and overpopulate. It can throw off the vaginal pH levels. It can create inflammation, affect, I mean, again, all of these things are all connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have a gut microbiome and we have a vaginal microbiome, and they're similar and they're connected. So literally everything we put into our mouths affects our vaginas.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. And I guess now, like, if you're somebody who's experiencing recurring infections, like, what can we do to, I guess, our first step in, like, looking at that root cause?
The first step is addressing your diet, because that the gut is the first thing that needs to be addressed when you're getting recurring thrush and recurring BV, because you have to understand what exactly you're putting into your body that could be triggering the and contributing to these symptoms. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of foods that, you know, are really bad. Like sugar is the worst. Like it literally feeds the bad bacteria, causing it to overgrow. Mm-hmm. You know, so inflammatory foods, gluten, dairy, sugar, junk foods that are inflammatory and really just not good. Also, you know, foods that are too acidic, too alkaline, stuff like that we need to look at and really do the work to heal the gut. That's number one. And mm-hmm. a close number one, 1.5, is addressing your stress. Because like I said, these things just don't happen out of nowhere. Like what's going on in your life? Why are you getting these infections? What was going on in your life? If these infections just started randomly happening, what was going on in your life at that time? Like what triggered this? Mm-hmm. Because it, again, like, you know, there's all kinds of things, long-term birth control, long-term antibiotics, shitty diet when we were younger, et cetera. But it's like these things just don't happen out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's addressing both of those things and really doing learning and doing the work to start healing your gut. And that's all based on what you eat, taking specific supplements, reducing your stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are all things that need to be addressed when you're starting to learn how to manage these recurring infections and mm-hmm. prevent them from coming back in the future.
Yeah. Would it be doing something like an elimination diet to try and work out, you know, which foods I guess are potentially triggering it?
Definitely. Definitely. It's eliminating all the crap, all of the inflammatory foods, the junk foods, all of the processed foods, and mm-hmm. really going with, like, I teach a candida diet. So it's a really strict elimination protocol, but it's not strict because you're not eating enough. You're eating a ton. Mm-hmm. You're just taking out the crap, any of the food triggers that could be causing any kind of, again, inflammation, blood sugar imbalances, and all these other things, physiological responses in the body, and really getting to the root cause of these issues, which is your gut.
Yeah. So what does like, a candida diet actually like look like typically?
So you're eating basically protein. It's kind of like a Whole30 diet on steroids, mm-hmm. like a paleo style diet. So you're taking out, again, a lot of the you're taking out all inflammatory foods. So that includes anything that's going to trigger inflammation or sensitivities in the body for anyone. Mm-hmm. So that includes gluten, dairy, sugar. We're taking out FODMAP foods, nightshade foods, foods that are typically inflammatory for most people, any kind that mm-hmm. cause any kind of sensitivities or allergies or anything like that. And basically what you're eating is you're eating a lot of protein, fat, and good low starch carbohydrates and vegetables. So mm-hmm. a lot of green vegetables, a lot of good quality protein sources, and good fats, because mm-hmm. it's not just like the what to eat and what not to eat on a candida diet. The secret is the how to eat, because you need to learn how to balance your blood sugar levels, because when your blood sugar is spiking and crashing, because it increases your blood glucose, your blood sugar levels, that also feeds the candida, causing it to overgrow. So you got to stabilize the blood sugar levels with your diet, improve your digestion and the flow of digestion to build up that good bacteria while getting rid of the bad bacterial overgrowth.
Mm. Yeah.
And addressing any kind of food sensitivities as well, food triggers, because you're getting rid of them. And then when you start, it's the candida diet is only temporary for most people when you're doing it right. And when you start to reintroduce foods again, you'll know very quickly which foods work for you and which foods don't.
Yes. Yes. I can imagine that. And I think that's important too, that it is temporary. I find a lot of people, they'll find these diets online, whatever, and they'll just try and stick to it forever, like indefinitely. And it's just not sustainable. Like I have tried so many times, not necessarily let me start again. I've tried it so many times, not in relation to vaginal health, but let's say like just IBS, different things. And, you know, you start this really strict diet protocol and then there's no plan. I guess probably also doesn't help when you're not having a support person, team, coach, whatever, their nutritionist to actually, you know, support you through this. But, you know, starting this really strict diet with no plan of how to exit that diet or how to get back to something that's more sustainable, just being like, this is what I'm going to do. So I think that's also like really important, that process. And also, as you said, looking beyond just like what you're eating, but like how, when, all those things to like actually manage how your body, I guess, processes it, the glucose, the ups and downs in energy.
But, you know, changing your diet is really hard. And I think this is one of the most challenging parts of my job is people really want to do a candida diet, you know, because they know they have to do it and they've got to do something about it, but they're so hesitant to change their habits. They don't want to give up their favorite comforts and their favorite foods, and they don't want to feel restricted. And I get that because I hate feeling restricted too. Like, don't take the red wine away from me.
But, I know, please don't.
Like, yeah. And but then I tell people, listen, like, you got to be ready to do this because it is a lifestyle change. It's not just a 6 week and you're done diet and you're going back to the way you were eating before. Like, when you're getting chronically sick, when you're getting chronic vaginal infections, chronic gut health issues, you got to change your lifestyle because otherwise it's not going to get better. And some people just aren't ready. They don't want to give up their favorite things. It's such a mindset. It's a mind fuck. It's all in the mind. It's actually really easy to do, you know, and it's only temporary. There's so many different varieties. You're not going hungry by any means. There's so many different varieties of food that you can eat and ways you can, you know, it's to keep it exciting and sustainable. It's possible. Yeah. When my clients are going through their, you know, at the beginning of the candida diet, getting over that hump of like, oh, I got to do this. It's always the toughest. But once they're in it, they feel amazing and they want to keep that momentum going, you know, and then it comes to the point where they're reintroducing foods. They're like, I don't want to because I feel so good. But it is getting over that hump and changing, getting that mindset, you know, ready to. For a big lifestyle change, changing your habits, it's tough. That's the toughest. Yeah. That's the hardest part.
Yeah. And like, I find our societies aren't always built for it too. Like, you've got friendships and going out for dinners and drinks. And like, I know in Australia, it's a massive drinking culture. And it can just feel like you're not, it could also just be an excuse that we use, but like, I'm just, you know, like not in the right time. Like, I know me, let's say 2 years ago, being like, you know, early 20s, everyone's drinking, going out all the time, trying to do things for my gut, being like, well, I have to cut out alcohol, which feels like I'm kind of cutting out my whole social life. Like, it can feel so much bigger.
I know. It's tough because I'm in Canada and we have a drinking culture here too. And trust me, I love drinking, even though I know it's not, you know, technically it's not good for you, but in moderation, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, It's interesting though, like to learn to not have to depend on things like that when you go out. But it's different for everybody. You know, some people it's easy for them to do that. Like for me, I can still go out and have a good time without having a few drinks, but for some people it's really tough. And whenever like my clients do a candida diet, I'm like, you know, make sure the next 6 to 8 weeks in your calendar are pretty free because you're going to be needing to cook all of your own meals. You need to know exactly what's going in and coming out of your body. You know, trips and vacations, don't do it then if you're not going to be home most of the time, because you gotta, you know, you can still eat out once in a while, but restaurants are putting all kinds of shit oils and hidden ingredients into your food that you don't know. And when you're trying to do an elimination diet, you gotta eat your own food. And when you're trying to heal your gut, and I always tell my clients, like, remember why you're doing this. like you just told me your vaginal health is affecting your life because you can't have sex, but you don't want to give up wine for 6 weeks. Like where are your priorities, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
But then I say again, like you got to be ready to do this because if you're going to do it, you got to commit.
Yeah.
There's no half-assing it because you won't get results.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious about, I guess, I see a lot of like natural remedies, things like, oh, people put coconut oil on a tampon when they have thrush and apparently that gets rid of their thrush and just all of these different things that people do because they don't want to take the medication or they're getting recurring infections and maybe the medication isn't working or they wanted to do both. Is it, what thoughts and opinions on like things like that, I guess?
I don't recommend treating a yeast infection or a BV infection naturally because often most of the time it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Like I've heard, coconut oil on a tampon, coconut yogurt, garlic cloves, everyone loves boric acid. And I'm like, you got to treat an infection properly because if you don't, it could lead to longer term health issues. And mm-hmm. I just don't trust natural for me. Natural treatments just don't work. It's just not enough. Like I'd rather treat it with either medication or a vaginal suppository, get rid of it in a couple of days and move on and do my holistic practices in the meantime to prevent it from coming back.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, absolutely.
I know a lot of people don't like taking medication. Nobody likes taking antibiotics, but sometimes you have no other choice. But there's lots of things that you can do to like, you know, rebuild the good bacteria that you're losing if you take antibiotics with your diet, with probiotics, with, you know, lots of things. But sometimes it's bad. It's not good to not treat an infection because it can lead to longer term health issues.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And something you said there, like boric acid, I even completely forgot about it. Don't know how, because it's everywhere. If you have a yeast infection, I feel like boric acid is everywhere for people saying, use this. And there's all these new companies coming out with just boric acid in a cuter package to, I don't know, sell it better. I'm not sure. But so that's kind of like the same thing, like better off using actual medication and looking at the root cause than something like boric acid.
Well, boric acid works for a lot of people and some people swear up and down by it, but I've heard some real nightmare stories about boric acid, particularly with women who use it long term, because it's an insecticide that you're putting inside of your vagina that literally strips away your vaginal lining and the healthy mucus membranes in your inside of your vagina. And I've heard so many people like they're telling me chunks of skin are coming out, they're bleeding. Like it's not good for long-term use. Here and there, maybe, I don't know. I've actually never tried boric acid personally, but you really have to address the root cause because you don't want to have to rely on things like boric acid or medication, antibiotics, chronic, you know, or constantly.
Yeah. Well, and cause like even using a natural remedy, it's still just, treating symptoms, not necessarily getting to that root cause, like as you said, like preventing it from happening again. It's just like that band-aid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got to give yourself some relief, you got to do what you got to do, you know, because it's fucking miserable.
Yeah, of course.
But again, it's like you have that part of it. Treat the symptom, do what you got to do, and then take a holistic approach in the meantime so that you don't have so you can prevent it from coming back. So you don't have to rely on those things.
Yeah. So we talked about like, you know, diet and stress. Is there any other things that you think are important to also address at the same time?
Oh yeah. Sexual hygiene, girl.
Yeah.
Everybody listen, pee after sex, please. Do yourself a favor. Always pee after sex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, never mix bum to vagina action ever, 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 ever. Tell your partners because men have no idea. You know?
I know. Yeah.
Wipe front to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Get yourself a good water-based lube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Keep it wet.
Yeah. It's friction is one of the main triggers of vaginal infections, because when you're not wet enough and there's skin, you know, skin to skin friction, it can cause micro tears inside of your vagina, which leaves you more prone to bacterial vaginal STIs. So make sure you're always lubricated. And if you're not, use a good lube, water-based.
Yes, absolutely. And I know, like, with lubes, like, looking for things that don't have, like, glycerin, because that's just going to be sugar for a yeast infection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's so many good lubes these days. But I know I looked at the supermarket ones in Australia, like, I haven't done it in a little while, but the last time I checked it, every single one had something that you shouldn't put in your vagina. And it was so interesting because these are the ones that most people are going for because it's convenient, it's there. So I think that's just really important for people to remember too, that you need to get a good quality lube that doesn't have anything that is going to affect your vaginal health in a negative way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anything else? I've heard things like, I guess, tight leggings or thongs, G-strings. Like that?
Just a lot for some women, thongs, you know, because you're kind of the thongs going up your butt and then it can rub against your vagina, you know, bacterial mm-hmm. exchange. But always make sure that you're keeping the area dry, your vagina and vulva dry. So changing out of a wet bathing suit, always never sit in a wet bathing suit, never sit in wet underwear or wet leggings, wet workout clothes. Always keep the area as dry as possible if you're sensitive to yeast and BV.
Mm-hmm.
Always pee after sex. I said that already, but I can't say that enough because some people forget.
Yeah.
A lot of times, if you're sensitive to BV, semen can trigger BV because it can change your vaginal pH. So if you're having ejaculatory sex and you're getting yeast and BV after sex, use a condom. I know it sucks, or pull out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't let them come in you.
Yeah. I've even noticed their diet sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause their diet there, if they're smoking too, especially cigarettes, the alkalinity of their semen can affect our vaginal pH.
Mm. And that's another great point. Everything that's going in their body is going to affect their semen, which is going to affect your vagina.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, that's really interesting to think about. Is there anything else that you think is important, I guess, to touch on within this topic of, like, vaginal health?
I think one of the hardest things to do is having conversations about this stuff with partners openly, because it's, you know, there's still a lot of shame about it, but really there isn't anything wrong with it. You know, these things are really common with when we have a vagina, and you know, you kind of have to expect them sometimes to happen. And it's just really important, especially if you are struggling with recurring infections, to have a conversation with your partner, because sometimes it's a vulnerable conversation to have, sometimes it's kind of awkward, but it really takes the pressure off when you can communicate that with your partner and help them to understand that sometimes you're not going to be able to have sex, sometimes you get infections, sometimes if you really understand your body and your triggers, sometimes, you know, this triggers an infection or that. So you got to be mindful about it. And it's really nice to have those conversations because it helps to build a foundation of trust in your relationship, but also helps you to just kind of take the pressure off. Because a lot of us feel, you know, guilty, ashamed, and, you know, when we can't have sex with our partner or whatever, or if we do get an infection. So it's a tough conversation to have sometimes, but it does really help.
Yeah, it's worth it, I think. And if you can't talk about those things with your partner, or if it's, you know, I don't know, causing conflict or just making you feel worse, then I guess that's an important piece of information for you and your relationship to think about. So
totally. We're all out here having sex, but we're still afraid to talk about it for some reason.
I know. It.
You know?
I don't know, because I'm the other end of being, you know, sexologist. I will talk about sex with my parents, grandparents, anyone. So I'm like, it still amazes me how many people, like, I understand it, but how so many people are willing to, you know, want to have sex but don't want to talk about it. They're willing to do it, but there's just so much shame in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I would love to know, what is something that is orgasmic to you?
Girl, I just got the magic wand vibrator. Lynn, let me tell you, this is next level shit.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I've heard about this. I've seen it. You know, I've heard about. I have never tried it until last weekend with my new partner, and we had sex like 25 times, and I had multiple mind blowing orgasms. And today I was feeling a little like my ADHD brain was active today. And I was like, okay, I need something that's going to ground me and like chill me out. So my partner was like, grab the magic wand and have a little session. Holy shit. I have to retire my old vibrator.
Mm-hmm. So was this like the first wand type vibrator you've used, or the actual brand?
The first wand type of vibrator I used, and the brand, and the actual brand.
Yeah.
But oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. The power.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like screaming, toe curling, freaking out.
Yeah. The second vibrator I ever bought was a big like wand one. And I remember using it. I didn't realize mine was weird and started on the highest setting instead of the lowest. And I remember I used it. I had an orgasm within 20 seconds. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, it was the first vibrator to get me to squirt, all these things. And I was just like, what is going on? I was like, this is just literally mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Especially when there's penetration. Like, it's just, wow, 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 wow. So I'm all about, yes.
Yeah. No, I absolutely. Wands are like one of my like top recommendations, because it's so like versatile, all these different, you know, strengths, pressures. Also, if you need a massager or even just to like turn on the rest of your body, relax you, it's perfect.
Yeah. So that's what I would suggest.
Yeah.
Come on, that vibe right now, literally.
Yeah. If you take anything from this episode, the vibrator.
Yeah. Magic wand. You can even still, when you have a yeast infection, I'm healing a yeast infection right now. I'm still horny. Magic wand.
Exactly.
Helps to
perfect
flush out the yeast.
I love it. So where can the listeners find you and your content or be able to work with you?
Oh my God. Well, my main community, my main hub is my Instagram, which is at Yoni Nutritionist. And I have so many posts and I do all kinds of stories and I talk about all kinds of crazy shit. And that's where my main community is, main hub of communication. I have a website, yoninutritionist.com. I'm on TikTok, Yoni Nutritionist. Those are the places you can find me.
Amazing. And I'll put it all in the show notes for anyone listening that wants to go find you. So thank you so much for coming on and talking about this.
Thank you for having me.